Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I hope y'all will see where God got us at right now, and how everything from the first song to his presentation and how he stopped it is just really just amazing to me. I love to watch God work. I don't know about y'all, and I don't need a song to put a sign on what I'm supposed to preach or anything like that, but I sure do like it when he seals it with a song sometimes or seals it with a word, and I'll be honest, there's been a couple nights I've struggled about exactly what to do. It's just because I have so much I want to give you, just to be honest with you, and I want to make sure I give you what God wants for you, and so I do want you to know I've tried my best to put my heart in this meeting, and I think it's been evident, God. I think God has honored it, and God gets the glory. I mean that. God gets the glory. I'm not into self-promotion.
No, sir.
Amen. There's enough out there promoting their names, and I appreciate them doing that, but God can promote your name bigger than you can. And it's not about self-promotion. There's more behind the scenes. There's the keeper of the oils. There's those that stuck with the stuff. And can I say there's those that did things that their names will never be known. You'll read in the Bible little lads and this lad and this woman and that man that are never named.
That's right.
But God's got a perfect record. And then there's just sometimes, you know, we got Hebrews 11 where we call it the hall of faith and those that there and all that. And I like reading Hebrews 11, but sometimes God will pull one out. I think about Philip the evangelist. And he served there, reached that one in that desert, poof, gone, 20 years, gone, poof. Right? I mean, he not even mentioned. And then Paul shows up, says, I think I want to go to Philip the evangelist's house, who has four daughters prophesied of birth. I think like God just said, Philip, you've been faithful. I'm going to give you a little verse.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And I say, I don't need a lot of verses. Just every now and then God will give you a recognition. Here, let me just give you a little verse. A lot of people read over that. I didn't read. I said, God, you just pulled him out and put him out. You just pulled him out a little bit. And then you don't ever hear anything about him. You just shoved him back in. But it's just like God's got, hey, I know exactly what's going on back there. And you may be serving me for 20 years, but I know everything that's going on. Amen. And I haven't missed not one I, one T. I haven't missed any of that. So can I say, Temple, your name may not be known. Your pastor's name is known, I promise you. And there's a lot behind. And can I say, it takes a great group of individuals to make something big.
Yes, sir.
Y'all okay? I did a thing for my pastor last year for pastor appreciation, and it wasn't really an original thought. I heard something, and I just sort of went and developed myself. But the Mississippi River is not great because it's the Mississippi.
Right.
There's 250 tributaries that pour into the Mississippi.
Amen.
Those rivers and them tributaries are not known.
Right.
Can I say, if the great Mississippi didn't have all them tributaries, he wouldn't be a great Mississippi.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
And I say, just be faithful what God's called you to do. And you may not be known, and you may seem like you're small, but can I say a little old tributary trickles a little bit of water? I'm going to tell you, it takes something to make it real big at the end of it. Amen.
Right.
Mississippi starts out 4.5 gallons a minute, gets down into the Gulf of Mexico, and it's pouring 4.5 million gallons a minute. Can I say, God can take something small and make something real big out of it if you'll just let God work. And I'm praying that God will do that with Temple. I mean that. I'm praying God will do something great. It seems like it's just, you know, maybe in the eyes of man, just a small church, but this is a big church in my eyes. I'm telling you, y'all got a big heart for God. Y'all want to do something great for God. And can I say, it's just collective group and just going out there and saying, boy, we just want to do something. Get out behind the man of God, treat your man of God great. I've heard him say a couple times this week and how well the church treats him, and you should. He's your number one missionary. Say amen, him and his wife. This is your missionary right here. You need to take care of him first. Amen. I believe that. Amen. Amen. If I'm wrong, you can correct me later, preacher, but I believe I'm right on that. And I believe you need to take care of him. You are. And then God's honored that, and I appreciate that. Amen. So I appreciate it. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to be here. I mean that. I appreciate you just giving me the privilege right here to stand behind your pulpit. Unworthy as I am. Very grateful, though, and I appreciate it a great deal. And then Brother Wenzel giving me the prophet's chamber to use. Very kind of him. The money you give my wife and I to go out to eat for our 30th anniversary yesterday, y'all made that special. Thank you for that and that intercessory prayer Bible. I got it out and said, set it on my table and got it. I got its own little placemat right there. And if somebody moves it when I get home, there's going to be war in the Jones family. Amen. And but I'm looking forward to diving into that. Amen. Well, let's get into scriptures, and I know that it's a little bit late, but we don't want to cut God short, but I do want to give you what my heart is. 2 Corinthians 9, if y'all wouldn't mind standing. We're going to jump right in the middle of a thought again, and it all ties in with chapter 8. And it's all coming together. And my whole, I sort of had some plans of staying in chapter 8 pretty much all week, but God didn't see it that way. But it says here in verse 6 of chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And God is able, and I'm glad he's able to make all grace. I wish if you'd circle this word all, it's in here, just I love it. "Make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency, and all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For this administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I want to take just a few moments, and I'll try to be brief tonight, but I want to look at this thought, the three thanksgivings in faith promise.
Amen.
The three thanksgivings in faith promise. Amen. Can we pray? Yeah. Dear me, Father, we sure do love you, and I appreciate the good evening you've already given us here on this Wednesday night. Lord, I thank you for every song that's been sung, every prayer that's been given, everything that's been done. Thank you for Brother Stacy and his singing, and Lord, how you touched his heart, and just be able to sit under songs that you've given to write, and God, you ministered to his heart and how his songs ministered to ours. And Lord, for the presentation of the ministry that you've entrusted him and his precious wife with, God, I'd pray that you'd meet every need that he has. God, that you would just give him that which he is needing for the ministry, the tools at hand. And God, we know you're able. There's no doubt about that. You're able to do that which is exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And God, we know that you can. And sometimes, Lord, just waiting on you gets very difficult. But Lord, it's right. So God, I'm asking, would you supply the truck he needs? God, if he needs a bigger trailer, God, would you give him that? God, would you give him the finances for the ministry? God, I'd pray that you'd supply him every tank of gas, everything that needs there in that ministry. God, I do pray, and I have prayed for him and will continue to pray for him. And I thank you for his prayers for me. And we praise you for all that you do. We sure do love you. We thank you. And Lord, we ask that you'd touch me one more time.
Please.
One more time, God, would you touch me? Touch my throat. God, it's weak tonight. God, I do need you. Help us, I pray, and we'll praise you for it. We ask it in thy name. Amen and amen. Y'all may be seated.
Amen.
We're coming here to the close of this chapter, and Paul is doing some writing to the church of Corinth. Excuse me, I hate to do that, but I have to. My throat's bothering me. But he's coming down, and you jumped right into the middle idea in this conjunction, but. And he's fixing to give us some laws that is in this chapter. And he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And there is that aspect that is here about the sowing and reaping. And can I say, it's probably been heard many times and it's not anything new. Number one, we see the sowing here. And he gives us two contrasts. God does this a lot. I was studying in Matthew 7 this morning on that of the two factors. You have the two ways. You've got the broad and the narrow way.
Yeah.
You've got a contrast. And then not only do you have that, then you have, of course, you've got the two. They're the two choices of the fruits. You got the good fruit and the bad fruit. Yeah, right. And you got two different ones. You've got the two professions. You got those that profess they know God, but yet yes. God does not know them. Yeah. And then there's those that do know him. And can I say there is those two contrasts there. Then you got the two foundations where the one built their house upon the sand and one built their house upon a rock.
Right.
Can I say there is a contrast? God always gives a contrast in the Bible, but may I say it is your choice which one you choose.
Yes.
God has given us a choice here tonight of how that we're going to give. And can I say, when we've been talking all week and it seems like God has pinned me down about giving yourself, giving yourself, giving yourself, giving yourself, and it seemed like night and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, it's all about giving self. Then when we give self, then it's in our wallet is no problem to give. Say amen. And so God is dealing again with a choice.
Yes.
This is your choice. He says here in verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly.
Yes.
God doesn't mince words at all with it. Can I say, and how are you supposed to give? Well, it tells us that we give by the sincerity of our love to the Lord.
Right.
We're giving because how much we love God and us that are saved by the grace of God. Why would we not give to the one who gave us all?
Right.
Say amen. I didn't deserve to be a joint heir with Christ. Amen. Everything he has, I have. And I have full access to the benefits of being saved by the grace of God. And so we see if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly.
Right, right.
And then the Bible says, ye that sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. And so there's two aspects here of how you do that. I was one pastor I know real well. He lived up in the mountains of Madison County and he hated planting beans.
Yeah.
But back then, that's how you eat. Well, it was his lot to go plant the beans. And his mom said, son, go take these beans, strike you off some rows. And you make sure you do it right and plant them beans right so we can have some beans to can and harvest.
Uh-huh.
Well, he went out there and he had this bright idea and he dug one hole and put all the beans in one hole.
Oh, wow.
He went back in and a little while later after he got done playing, his mama said, son, did you plant them beans? He said, I sure did, mama. And about a few days went on, and all of a sudden, all these beans started to come up out of the ground. Now, he did plant them,
right.
And he did plant bountifully, but he wasn't going to reap bountifully.
Right.
Can I say he shortchanged the process that it takes for that to happen? Sometimes we do things just to give so we can get it out of the way. And I say, there's a process of giving to God. There's a way that God wants us to do it, amen. And can I say, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes a purpose in your life. And can I say, there was that aspect. Can I say, in Proverbs, it tells us in chapter number 3, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled.
Yeah.
Can I say that we've allowed this prosperity wealth gospel to ruin our churches? Can I say God wants the church to be prosperous? He don't want us to be broke and poor. I know that some have money and we go through difficult times. But can I say in those difficult times is when God shows us the most how much he really cares about us. But can I say in all the years that I've walked with God, I may not have had everything that I wanted. But can I tell you I've had everything that I needed. Amen. And I say God's had ways of making our barns full. God, Paul says, I know how to abound. I know how to abase. I know how to be full. And he says, I know how not to have a whole lot. But can I say in the whole aspect doesn't change who God is. He still takes care of his children. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He can put a table in the presence of your enemies. Amen. I'm telling you, God can feed you in the most inopportune time. It seems like in the most difficult time, God can put a table where you need it the most. Amen. Can I say there is that aspect of our barns? He also tells us there in Proverbs chapter 11. It says there is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that which withholdeth more than is meet, but tendeth to poverty.
Right.
Can I say a lot of people are holding on to poverty?
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
You mean I got to give to get rich? Well, God may not give it back to you, but can I tell you it's better to give?
Amen.
Amen. Can I say there's nothing like it? But some people are saying I can do better with this than what God can. God's a better mathematician than you are.
Yes.
I don't need a CPA to tell me that. Amen. I've been at this way too long. I've experienced way too much. I've went too far to doubt Him now, as that song says. And can I tell you, I may go through some low ebbs, but God goes with me. Amen. And I say, I'm not going to hold on to God's money. Amen. And by the way, when you hold on to it, you are holding on to His money. It's all His anyway. Amen. Well, that went over real well. Y'all getting quiet on me tonight. Can I tell you, Proverbs 19 and verse 17, it says, He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again.
Right.
I was thinking about that church that gave that $400.
Yes.
I wonder how much of that they got back.
Amen.
Beyond.
That's right.
Yeah, preacher, I didn't know that either. God, can I tell you, I'm sure God give back that $400 in dividends. That's beyond measure. Can I say there is that giving back? Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 9 says this, He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor.
Right.
Can I say, if you want to be blessed, give.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Give. Amen. I'm telling you, God struck my heart today already on giving something, and I have. I've obeyed God completely on what He told me to do.
Sure.
I mean, when I saw it, God says, you better do that. You know it's there.
That's right.
Yeah. Say amen. Yeah. Had to get my squirrel money. I had to dig her out. But can I tell you, there's nothing like giving that squirrel money. Sometime down the road, that squirrel money will come back.
Oh, yeah.
I'll stick her back in that little hole, and God says, just give. That little squirrel money will come back. Can I tell you what it is? Just the blessings of God. Amen. Can I tell you, there's nothing like giving to God. Amen. 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 I like it. Amen. I tell you, Proverbs 28 verse 27 says this, He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack.
Amen. Amen.
But there's a contrast here. He doesn't stop there. But he that hideth his eye shall have a curse. The Bible says many.
Amen.
Many curse.
Yes, sir.
Not just one.
Go ahead.
You ever notice those that hold back, God curses your money?
That's right.
Exactly right.
Will a man rob God?
Amen.
You rob God, he's going to curse your money.
Yep.
Can I tell you, I don't know, Temple Baptist Church, I don't know that I'd want God to curse my money. Say amen. Can I say, I want God to bless my money. I'm not a millionaire down here, but I'm a millionaire up there. Amen. I'm going to tell you, what people are fighting for down here, I'm going to walk on. What people are digging up out there in the desert, God's going to put it on the walls. Amen. We're just going to look through it. Can I tell you, what people are down here trying to get, all these jewels, God's going to use it to make the New Jerusalem. Can I tell you, I'd rather have the blessing of God in my life than the curse of God and many curses of God on my life.
That's right.
You ever had a problem, preacher? You sure are? You better believe I do. This has been the year of car breakdowns. That's all it's been, one right after another. But I just go out there and I tell God, your car broke down.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, you say, well, that's sort of irreverent. No, God gave me that truck. Amen. Last year, my radiator went out on that white truck, and I went in there, went to my friend. I said, tell me what's wrong. He said, the radiator's went out. He said, I don't want to tell you how much it is. I said, well, you're going to have to.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to tell you. I said, well, you're going to have to.
Right.
He said, well, I'm going to tell you. He said, it's going to cost you $1,400 to get that replaced. I said, just give me just a moment. I walked outside his mechanic shop. I looked up in heaven. I said, God, your truck's broke down and you need $1,400.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Tell it, Bro Jones.
Tell it, brother. Yeah. Yeah.
I said, and so I just put it on Mr. MasterCard is what I did. I didn't have it. So I got it all fixed. I said, God, you owe that credit card company $1,400.
Yeah.
I was out west and I went to a church and that pastor said, you got a need? I said, I don't want to tell you because it was a mission church. But he said, no, we want to know. I said, I want to teach my church to give. And I said, all right, you ask. I said, but I don't want to tell you. He said, you better tell me. And I told him, I said, well, my radiator went out. It cost me $1,400 to fix it. He said, church, we're going to help Brother Jones. He said, we're going to take up a loose plate offering. And all when they got done, they took a loose plate offering, not a $1,400. By the time they were done, they done give me $3,600. Can I tell you, God not only paid my radiator, but God paid for my trip out there and my trip back home. Can I tell you, God will bless your giving. Can I say there's that aspect of sowing, amen. Yeah, we may have to take a break at 9. I don't know. But can I tell you, there's that planning, amen. But then there's the purposely of this in verse number 7. He says, every man according as he purposed in his heart. Can I say there's a placement? Now, I beat this down last night with Hannah, and it all has to originate from the heart. Your prayers originate from the heart, and your providing for missions originates in the heart. Can I tell you, there's nothing like when God puts something on you to do for somebody else. And God, it just means that God was thinking of them, and he thought of you, and he thought you would think enough of them to meet their need. Can I tell you, there's nothing like giving heart giving.
Amen.
And I say there's a placement, the performance of it. It says here in verse 7, says, so let him give.
Right.
Do it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's been all about this week. It's about obedience.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Surrendering yourself.
Amen.
Being obedient. When God tells you to do something, do it.
Right.
Don't question it. Do it.
Right.
Give it. And I mean, do it. I mean, God, I mean, when Mary said, whatsoever he saith, do it. Can I say it's real simple? Just do it.
Yes, sir.
Can I say there's a performance of it? But can I say the pleasing of it?
Oh, yeah.
It says down here that so let him give. And here's our attitude.
Yeah.
Not grudgingly.
Right.
Or of necessity.
That's right.
For God loveth.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yes. He loveth a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Amen. Can I say there is that pleasing of it?
Right.
There's a place in the book of Philippians when it talked about when they gave, it was a sweet odor.
Yes.
Right.
You didn't smell it down here. But when you put it in that offering plate, there's an aroma that goes out of that offering plate, goes up in the first heavens, goes up through the second heaven, bypasses the third heaven, and approaches the throne of grace. And I say, and God says, whoo, do you smell that? Can I tell you, it's like that when my wife, she does this sometimes, and she'll squirt perfume in the air, walk through it. I'm telling you, she ain't but 5-something, but when she comes out the other side, she's like 9-6, amen. And I tell you, that's the way it is, amen. And that's the way it is in God's nostril when we give to God, pleasing him and not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Can I say cheerfulness means hilarious?
Yeah.
Right.
Should bring us to laughter.
Yeah.
I never understood this. I know I'm going to get carnal. But when we take up the offering, it's like we're having a funeral.
Yeah.
That's right.
So amen.
Amen.
We're going to take up the offering. We got to play songs to cover the silence.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh boy, I know. I hadn't heard a church do it yet. I'd like to see it. But this shit, you ever been, I don't go to sports, but I have watched them on TV. They used to do the wave. Some of y'all's done that, haven't you? Probably in your living room. Oh, they're doing the wave. You're a one-man wave show in your house. Good job. You mess that up, God help you.
Yeah.
I got to get this back, Lord. I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, yeah.
You okay?
But I'm telling you, when we pass that offering plate, there should be some hallelujahs.
Sure.
Should be a wave.
Amen.
As that offering plate starts from the front to the back, it should be, well, glory to God.
Yes.
Well, amen. Well, hallelujah, amen. I haven't seen it. I sure would like to, amen. But can I tell you, there's something about somebody getting real happy about giving.
Yeah.
There's a church over in Tennessee around Marysville, and they had a missions conference a few years ago, and they brought it up, and the pastor got it, and he said, that can't be right. He told that guy, he said, y'all count that? He said, sure did, preacher, it was right. He said, I can't believe that that is right. It's too much. Go back and count it again. So they went back and counted it up. Their faith promise. They brought that piece of paper back. Said, Pastor, it's right.
Yeah.
That's what this church is giving. And they're giving doubled. To where they were giving up into six figures.
Yeah.
Astronomical
right.
amount of money.
Right.
They went up $75,000 this year at that same church.
Right.
And that pastor got up and he said, all right, church. He said, this is what we have so far. And when he gave the number, there's people running around the building.
Yeah.
There was people standing up shouting and rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
There was people just having themselves a fit because that church did what they did. And because they did that, can I tell you, that when we give, it should not be a silent time, amen. It should be a joyous time to give to God.
That's right.
When I say a merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Yes.
Can I say Proverbs 15, a merry heart make a cheerful countenance, it'll show.
Yes.
But people who are miserable today, dissatisfied, grumbling and complaining.
Yes.
Can I tell you why?
Yep.
Because stinginess is usually linked to miserableness.
That's right.
Exactly right.
Some of the most miserable people you know are holding on to their money.
Yep.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen. Hey. Can I tell you those? I appreciate Brother Stacy's wife giving away his Jiffy cornbread. He didn't like it at the time. Amen. But can I tell you the rewards off of it were probably outstanding because he gave that. Amen. And can I tell you, there's nothing like giving what God has asked you to give. Amen. It should be a joy. Amen. To do that.
That's right.
I don't want to be miserable.
Right.
And stingy
right.
with God's money.
Right.
And the plenty of it, it says a provision in verse 8. I got to hurry. Oh, preacher, I'm sorry.
Preach.
And God is able to make all grace abound towards you that ye have all, always having all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work.
Yes.
We see the providing of this. God is able to make all grace. That grace is that provision. Of God. When you read about the grace of God, it's Him providing.
Right.
It's Him always meeting the needs that we have. We don't deserve it.
Right.
But it's God doing that.
Right.
No, let me hurry along. But the plenty of this all sufficiency. Can I say God's not broke? COVID didn't break God. Biden didn't break God. Pelosi didn't break God. Shoemaker, Schumer, whoever they are, didn't break God. AOC's not breaking God. Can I tell you, there's nobody breaking God. Amen. He's got it all, always will, always has. And I'm telling you, God will never be broke. Amen. He's got a way of making all sufficiencies meet in your needs. Amen. Can I tell you what a God, the product of it?
Yeah.
The work. Because it says here, all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Can I say He's able? Every work He starts, He has the ability to meet the needs. Say amen. Let me move on. Let me get to the providing of it. Because it comes down in verse number 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness.
Yeah.
Can I say the person, He? Can I say God's able to meet every need that you have?
Yes.
He not only does He promise, but He promises your food.
Amen.
I remember back in 2019, November of 2019, I travel. That's all I'm on the road. I mean, my whole year is almost booked. I've got a few openings for international travels that I've sort of set aside to do that, and we're going to do that. The majority of my years booked out, I have been for a while. Back in November of 2019, we had a 53-foot semi breakdown reefer trailer full of frozen meat. And they called my pastor because we got a disaster relief. They called my pastor and they said, can you take a 53-foot truck of frozen meat? And my pastor, he's not going to turn that down. He said, sure, we'll take it. Well, he filled all of our freezers. We got big walk-in freezers at Anchor. He filled all them freezers. And he was cramming them in there. And then he sent out a text to the staff. He said to the staff, come get all the meat you can and fill your freezers up at home. And so I went there and I filled it up. And I'm just going to be just honest with you. I was questioning God what he was doing. I said, God, why are you doing this? I said, we don't need all this meat. And I was like, I'm never home. I rarely get to eat dinner at my table. I told the Lord, I said, I don't even know the last time I put my hand in this freezer. And here you are filling it up, and I don't understand that. Yep. Well, March 2020 come along, and we got hit with a virus that nobody knows where it come from. Well, I do know where it come from, and I'll be politically correct. It come from China. It come from China and Fauci, Dr. No Fauci, and all them other ones. It come from all them. They all had a part in that. And this chemical warfare, that's all it is. All right, let's get back to the message. Now you know where I stand. Amen. And the COVID hit in 2020. I lost all my meetings of that year in 3 days. The world come to a stop.
Yes, sir.
But in that time, God showed himself real to me.
Yeah, me too.
We were sitting there eating dinner at my dinner table with my wife and my two daughters. And that went on for about a week. And I was going down there and getting pork chops and chicken, cowboy steaks that were this big. And we were grilling, we were frying. We were chefs. I didn't know I could cook like that. Amen. We were in there and I was doing everything. We were trying new things and trying. And some of my daughter said, well, not really, Dad. If you can not do that no more, that'd be great. One night I got to crying. I was over my dinner plate and tears were rolling down my cheeks and hitting my food that I was eating. My wife said, what's wrong with you? I said, don't you get it? She said, what's that? I said, we're eating like kings and queens.
Yes.
I said, the providential hand of God.
Yes.
We've been given to him for years.
Right.
And the providential hand of God back in November filled our little freezer downstairs. So when COVID hit and my pay was out the door, I said, I'm not getting no money. I'm not getting anything but the support that we're getting monthly. And I said, it don't pay the bills that we're getting. And I said, yet God, in his infinite mercy, all those years we gave to Faith Promise and give to missions and give to projects, God has brought that back to full circle. Amen. He took care of our food and we're eating roast that's got $80 on it. We can't afford that kind of roast. We're eating cowboy steaks that's got $50. I can't afford that, amen. But there's a God in heaven, amen, who can afford that kind of stuff. Who can put that in your freezer? Who can supply your every need, amen? Boy, I wish I had a voice right now. Somebody's going to have to shout for me, amen. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven, amen, who can take care of every need that you have, amen. He's promised, amen, your food, he said. The perpetual of this. God will take care of you first. God will bless your money that you give to missions.
That's right.
God will bless the fruit of your righteousness. He'll increase your righteousness. God's going to bless your money spiritually.
All preaching.
Can I say that universal, all grace, all sufficiency, all faith, and every good work. When you give, God gives. When you withhold, God withholds. When you sow, you reap. But when you don't, I promise you, you'll weep.
That's right.
You'll weep.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Let me get to the message, and I'll finish up quickly. We might have to take a shout and fit at 9. We might.
Amen.
But then he comes down to verse 11, and he says this, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Can I say, we looked at it the other night, that through their abundance of their joy, they gave joyfully.
Yes.
The church of Macedonia, the Philippi and Thessalonica, they didn't give grudgingly. But the Bible says that they give in their great trial of afflictions and through the abundance of their joy. Not just a little joy, not just a little pinky joy. I'm talking about the abundance of their joy, that overflowing joy, that joy of giving to God when they didn't even have it themselves. They were willing to give it.
Right.
And can I say, when you do that, it should bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Yes.
That God would entrust you. Can I tell you, when God laid on that pastor to give those two services, you know what God was saying? I trust you. He trusted that church, but most of all, he put it in the hands of Brother Stacy. And that the God of heaven would trust us like that is beyond me.
Amen.
Last year, we're building an orphanage in India right now. Going to cost $50,000 to do that. And I was in a church in the mountains of North Carolina, and I just said it in passing. I just said, pray, I'm trying to build an orphanage in India, need 50 grand. That's all I said.
Yeah.
There was a couple in there, called me up that week, said, Mr. Jones, can we take you and your wife and children out to dinner? I said, oh, I'd be glad to. So we scheduled a time, and we went and had dinner, and we were sitting there eating, had a little package in there, and we were sitting there eating. And I said, we were just talking about different things. I said, tell me about that orphanage. And I started to tell them. I said, we've got about between 120, 150 children in India that are scattered abroad. We've always wanted to put them under one roof. I said, we've been just praying and dreaming about this for years. And I said, it's finally coming to fruition. We got the property right on the main road. We got a pastor that's ready to take it over and run with it. National, he's going to do a good job. I said, I just need 50 grand to do it. And I said, God's got it. They said, we want to help with that. And I said, well, whatever you give will be a blessing. I appreciate it. I pray God will multiply it. That's all I said. We got done eating, and they said, we want to give you this. And it was a bag, had a little yellow fluffy paper and an envelope on the top of it. And I, thinking in myself, in that envelope, there's some money. So I was dignified. I didn't open it there. Because I wanted to be dignified. You know. So I got home, and we got home, and I carried that little package in with me. And I opened up that envelope, and they had a kind little thing in there just saying how much they appreciate me and my family and how we serve God. It was very kind. But no money. I ain't going to tell you, I wasn't a little disappointed. Might have been a little bit. But in that package, there was a purple padded envelope, about that big, about that thick. And I was feeling it. My wife said, what is it? I said, well, it feels like a shirt. But I said, I don't know why they'd buy me a shirt. They don't even know what shirt size I wear, amen. And I buy my shirts at the tent factory. They should know that, amen. And so I told my daughter, I said, give me a pair of scissors. And I cut that purple envelope up. And when I did, my most favorite non-president, Ben Franklin, was looking at me. Well, my throat went in my gut. And my wife said, what's wrong with you? I said, just give me just a second, please. I said, I know you've got a lot of questions, and I've got all the answers right here before me. But let me get my composure, and let me make sure I'm not going to throw up first. She said, really? I said, yeah, I'm being honest. I feel like I could throw up right now.
Yeah.
She said, well, what's in there? I said, you know Ben Franklin? I said, he's staring at me. And all of a sudden, they cloned him in this bag. I said, there's a bunch of them. And I reached in that bag, and when I did, I started to count them out. And put them in stacks of $1,000 of $100 bills. I counted out 10,000 just a matter of moments. I told my daughters, I said, grab you a handful, start counting it. They got them a handful and they started counting or putting it on my counter of our kitchen. When we got all said and done, there was $50,000 in $100 bills sitting there on my counter. You think God's broke? I mean, they drug that up out of the jar in their backyard. I don't know where they got it. All I know is they give it, amen. And my daughter's, Daddy, can we take a picture? I'm like, no, you'll get prideful. I said, I got to call my pastor. It was late. I text. I said, I hope you're up. I said, I need you to call me immediately. I need you to call me. He called me. He said, what's wrong? I said, FaceTime me. He said, all right, he FaceTime me. I could put it on my phone. He said, what's wrong with you? I said, preacher, just hang on. I reversed my camera on my phone. When I did, he said, what's that? I said, that's $50,000, Pastor. I said, that's for the orphanage in India. He said, I guess we're building it, aren't we? I said, I guess so, amen. We're going to build that building, amen. We're going to bring them children, amen. Well, can I tell you, there's nothing like giving to God. And can I say, when God trusts you to give that money, it should cause us to thank him, amen. And I say giving should not be quiet. And I say giving should drive us to say, thank you, Lord, that you'd trust me with this money. Thank you, God, that you'd allow me to use this for your glory and honor. Thank you for providing. Thank you for putting it on the heart of a pastor with a little old community, our congregation. And they gave $400, but they gave all they had, amen.
Yes.
We see the people who are giving thanks, the participants will give thanks.
Amen.
Because it says here in verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by the many thanksgiving unto God.
Yes.
It's those that are receiving it on the other side.
Yes.
Brother Stace, before you even give your story tonight about feeding that missionary family, I wrote her down because I come after you. And he don't know the other side of that story. Brother Piercy preached a revival and that missionary had me come through after Brother Piercy and preach another revival a few months after that. And we went into their house and they cooked me a dinner and I went in there and this is what them children did. They drug me around. I've done been in that house, but they done drug me around. And I wish you could have seen it, Brother Piercy. They took me in that pantry where you didn't have no food. And where that little old freezer was, they come in there and said, come here, preacher. Come here, preacher. And they took me in there and they said, we got some strawberry Pop-Tarts. And can I tell you, them boys were rejoicing on the other side because they had some strawberry, big old boxes of Pop-Tarts. And they said, wait a minute, preacher, there's more. And they lifted up that freezer up and they said, we got meat down here, preacher. They said, our freezer's never been this full. Our freezer's never had this much meat, amen. Well, can I tell you what happened on the other side? They were giving thanks when they give the money. But can I tell you a little time down the road, amen. Those that received what was given to them, they were still raising their hands. They were still rejoicing because some church back in Tennessee gave them some money and they're saying, thank you, God, amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you, when you give that money, we're thanking God. But that missionary, you don't see it half the time. But on the other side, amen, they're thanking God. Oh, it seems so insignificant. Oh, it's just beans and taters. But can I tell you, on the other side, it was like $1 million to that family, amen. The mom and dad were watching as them children were showing me. They were smiling and thanking God that they had food in their cabinet, amen. Can I tell you, there's more to this than giving, amen. It's far out, far reaching the four walls of Temple Baptist Church, amen. It's far out reaching and from our hands, from our wallet. And I tell you, on the other side, there's somebody rejoicing. There's somebody giving thanks, amen. I've got a list of stories, but I'm only going to give you one. I got to move on. And I remember a couple years ago, I was in Plains, Montana. And I was visiting. Somebody said, you need to go visit this missionary. I went and visited this missionary. He'd been a missionary for 23 years in Plains, Montana. Started out there. They didn't have much support when they went. They lived in the church, bathed their children in a 5-gallon bucket for the first year. And I asked him, I said, do you ever think about leaving? And he says, where would I go? I said, these are my people. I said, where would I go?
Right.
When I got nosy and I got to looking around, it was in November. He's burning wood. I said, how much wood do you burn a year? He says, I burn about 10 cords a year. And I got to looking around, and I just got nosy, preacher, and I got to looking around. I said, where's your wood splitter? I said, my manual labor is just pushing a lever with the hydraulics. And he put his head down. He said, preacher, he says, I can't afford a wood splitter. I said, really? I said, so you're telling me you're busting this wood during the winter. I said, you're burning pine. And I know some of the strongest men couldn't split this wood in the summer because there's so much sap. He said, you're right. He said, I have to let it freeze before I can bust it. And it's 20, 30, 40 below zero in this place where he lives. And he spends his whole winter splitting wood just to get through the day. That's how he does, because it's so cold in the winter. You can only do it for so long. I said, all right, that's all I need to know. I didn't even tell him. I come back, went to three different churches, raised $1,600. Didn't even tell him. And I sent him an email. I said, here's a number. I said, I need you to go to Home Depot. Make sure you take your truck. And it's got a 2-inch ball on the back of it. That's all I told him. He went in there and he says, I'm so-and-so, this is a number, I don't know what I'm picking up. That lady says, come with me. And when he did, that log splitter was by the door. He walked right by what God provided for that missionary. And so he sent me a picture of it connected back to the back of his truck. He's riding it like a horse with his hand up. And he had a smile on his face. He was rejoicing over a simple old $1,600 log splitter. He called me up that day. He said, preacher, I want to thank you. I said, that's not all. He said, what do you mean? I said, I done got a team up. We're coming this summer. We've got a team that's going to cut, split, and stack your wood so you don't have to. Amen. There was a group of people from Wahoo Baptist Church. There were some men from Pilgrim's Way there in Rutherfordton. We went up there and cut that man's wood. And we've been doing that every year. We're going back in April to do that again this year. We're going to cut another man's wood in a community that's got a bad shoulder. I said, we're going to cut his wood too. Amen. And can I tell you, that preacher called me up in December of this last year. And this preacher doesn't cry at all. He don't show no emotions. He called me, he was crying. He said, he always calls me Dr. Jones. He said, Dr. Jones. He said, I got to thank you. I said, for what? He said, for that log splitter. He said, when you come to me and I didn't know you, and he said, you got real personal with me. He said, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't like it. But he said, now I see what God was doing. He said, you bought that wood splitter and you caught all these teams to come out and cut my wood and stack it. He said, this last year has been very detrimental to me in health. He got a tumor in his sinus that they had to remove, and it debilitated him for almost 8 months last year. And he said, Dr. Jones, he says, if you didn't do that, he said, I had to come off the field this year. Because I wouldn't have had the health to cut my wood and split and stack my wood. But he says, every year you bring a team out and you're faithful to do that every year. I said, Brother Kim, as long as I'm alive and Wahoo Baptist Church is still established, I promise you your wood will be cut every year. It'll be split. It'll be stacked. It'll be ready for you in the winter time. Can I tell you, there's a God in heaven who'll give through you, amen, what he won't give to you, amen. I've bought snow blowers, wood splitters. I've helped buy snowmobiles. I'm telling you, there's others on that other side who's raising their hand saying, thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But then the third one. Can I say, there's our people, there's the participants. But then there's the precious Savior. Because it says in verse 15. I wish I had the voice for this verse. But it says, thanks be unto God.
Yes.
For his unspeakable gift. Now I know there are some commentators who will say, well, we're thanking God for the missionaries, and I am. But I don't think that's what this verse is replying to. Amen. This is replying to our Lord and Savior who was crucified, buried, and risen again. Amen. I'm talking about the one that come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I give you my testimony this week about how God took an old Catholic boy, how God prearranged some things in my life. Amen. How that man thought God couldn't do anything with me. Amen. But God saved me at the age of 26 years old. Amen. I stood up and gave God thanks because he saved me. Amen. But boy, seeing other people saved by the grace of God, those in India and Dubai and Pakistan and there in the Philippines and Africa and South America and all around the world, people are getting saved of every nation, kindred, and tongue. Amen. And they're all coming out with the same chorus. Thank God I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I say, there's been some testimonies about every night except for tonight. Somebody stood up every night and says, preacher, or preacher. And I still, your testimony, sir, of getting saved 2 years ago.
Amen.
It's resonated within my soul this week.
Hallelujah.
You know what I saw him do tonight? 2 years ago, he wouldn't have done it. But I watched a man, said, preacher, I want one of them. And you try to get one of them boys to take it. He said, oh no, I'm going to go get this one. Amen. And now he's going to fill it out. Amen. And his money's going to help support some missionary that's going to take the gospel to a foreign land or across the nation or around the world. Amen. And God's going to use that. Amen. Some young boy, some young girl, some mom, some dad, some aunt, some uncle, some grandma, some grandpa is going to get saved by the grace of God. Amen. And he's on this other side. Thank God for saving me 2 years ago. And then somebody over here, I thank God for the missionary, amen, so I can be saved by the grace of God, amen. I'm telling you, amen, what a God we serve, amen.
Amen. Glory. Amen.
And we put our money in that. And I say, thank you, Lord, amen. That missionary gets that support. Thank God, amen. And that individual gets saved by the grace of God. Thank God, amen. And God, I'm telling you, that it reaches up in the portals of glory.
Yeah.
Because when one sinner gets saved, amen, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels, amen. I'm not saying, no, not the angels. In the presence of the angels, amen. Those that know a negative note, amen. Those angels don't know a negative note, but I sure do. I know what it's like to be saved by the grace of God. So there's a great company up into heaven, all resonating. Thank God. Thank God. So when God has you, it's no problem.
Oh, yeah.
I'm giving the missions. My question, are you thankful? I am. I love it to be able to give to the Lord. The three thanksgivings of faith promise. It's more than money. It's more than money. It's a joy. And it should bring a joy within us to thank Him for that He would entrust us with His money to do what we do.